Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I must confess, throughout the week, I've had a number of people ask me, what does that church sign say out there? They didn't quite get it. It's supposed to be a play on the way we English people pronounce things. Our title today is, What Ifs and How Will? Based on Psalm 23, verse 2, which reads, He leads me beside the still waters. I invite you to turn your worship folder over, find the sermon outline, as we consider our sermon today about worry, asking the question, what if and how will? Well, your 10-year-old boy is worried. He can't sleep at night. So you ask him, Dear, what's wrong? And he shakes his head and he says, Mommy, I don't even have a pension plan. You talk to your 4-year-old granddaughter as she's crying in bed. You lean over her bed and say, What's wrong, sweetheart? And your 4-year-old granddaughter whimpers, I'm never going to pass university chemistry. Your 8-year-old nephew's face looks filled with stress as he declares, I'm going to be a rotten parent. What kind of an example am I going to set for my children? How would you respond to such statements? Some of you already responded. You giggled. Likely you'd say something like, You're far too young to worry about such things. Your Heavenly Father will take care of you and your future. When the time comes, don't worry. You'll know what to do. But fortunately, most children don't have such thoughts. But unfortunately, we adults have more than our share of such thoughts. Worry is the burlap bag of burdens that we have a hard time setting down. Our burlap bag of burdens is overflowing with what ifs and how wills. What if it rains at my wedding? How will we repay our child's tuition? What if I don't get that job? How will those medical tests turn out? What if, after all my hard work, the situation doesn't improve? And even something like, what if, after all my dieting, they learn that lettuce is fattening and chocolate isn't? The burlap bag of worry. Scratchy, irritating, hard to carry, and impossible to give away. Nobody wants your worries, and truth be told, you don't want them either. And need you even be reminded of the high cost of worry to one's blood pressure, heart function, and stomach disorder? The biblical word for worry, and it's on your handout, by the way, the biblical word for worry is a combination of two Greek words, merizo, to divide, and nous, mind. A divided mind. Worry splits our energies between today's reality and tomorrow's possibilities. What if? How will? Part of our mind is on the now, and the rest of our mind is on the not yet. The result is half-minded and half-hearted living. One wise man put it this way, and it's on your handout. He said, worry is the interest due, picture this in your mind, worry is the interest due on a bill you haven't even received yet. Worry is an expensive habit, and it might be worth it if it worked. But it doesn't work. Our dear Lord Jesus told us in Matthew 6:27 these words. Listen carefully to these words, my friends. Jesus said, "And who of you, by being worried, can add one single hour to your life?" How to deal with worry? Well, you might do as one guy did. One guy decided he would hire somebody to do his worrying for him. So he found a man and promised him a $200,000 salary every year if he would handle all his worries. After the man accepted the job, the first question to his boss was this: "Where are you going to get the $200,000 to pay me?" And the boss said, "That's your worry." The truth is, worry is a job you can't hire out. But our dear Lord tells us in Holy Scripture, and that's why I hope you've come here today, to hear what God says to you. Our dear Lord tells us in Holy Scripture that with His help, yes, you can overcome your worry. There's no better help and no better gift from God in this regard than in verse 2 of the Shepherd's Psalm, verse 23, where it says, "He leads me besides the still waters." And David continues, in case we missed the point, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness." He leads me. Did you catch it? He leads me. The Lord, your shepherd, isn't marching behind you, swinging his bat, swinging his rod, and saying, "Go! Get going, sheep! Quit worrying! Knock it off! You better try harder!" No. Your Lord is ahead of you with his shepherd's staff, with strength and gentleness, leading you, clearing the best path, cutting the brush, helping you find the footprints, the footsteps on the rocks and the paths. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness. The story is told of a tour group in Israel. While riding a bus in Israel, the tour guide was bragging to all of these tourists because he wanted to get their tourist dollars. He was bragging about the great Israeli shepherds who would walk in front of their sheep with their staff gently and majestically. They would know his voice. They would follow him everywhere as he led in kindness and gentleness. Well, just as they turned the bed, wouldn't you know it, as if almost on cue, there was a flock of sheep. But much to the horror of this tour guide and everybody on the bus, the guy taking care of the sheep was marching behind them, hitting them with their rod, cursing them, moving them, pushing them on. It was an awful thing to see. The tour guide stopped the bus, ran out and said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? I've been bragging to all these rich tourists about our great shepherds. What kind of a shepherd are you?" And this man looked at him and said, "I'm not their shepherd. I'm the butcher." In a wonderful contrast, our dear shepherd, our precious shepherd, our good shepherd, our Lord Jesus, says to each of us in John chapter 10, and would you listen to these words? These are the words God has called you here to listen to today. Listen to what Jesus says as he leads you and guides you with his staff. Jesus said in John 10, "I am the shepherd of the sheep. The sheep hear my voice, and I call my own sheep by name, and I lead them out. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." He leads us. He gives us what we need when we need it. He gives us what we need when He knows we need it. I can't tell you how many times my dear wife has reminded this preacher of this very thing. I have no right preaching a word of God to you unless I've heard it in my heart first. I need to hear this word of God today as well as all of you. God gives us what we need when we need it. Hebrews 4, verse 16 says it this way. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. God's help is timely. He helps us the same way a loving father would help his children at an airport. And I've seen this done. When it comes time to board the plane, not too soon, but not too late, the father takes all of the airplane tickets out of his satchel and stands between the attendant at the gate and each of his children. As each child passes him by, he places a ticket in their hand, and the child then in turn gives it to the attendant. Each one receives the ticket at the right time, so no tickets are lost ahead of time. No child is left behind. They all get on the plane just at the right time. No child was ever heard to say, "What if we don't make it?" or "How will I get my ticket?" In the care of their loving father, all "what ifs" and "how wills" melt away. Now, what this man did for his children, are you catching the connection? What this man did for his children, your shepherd, your Lord, your Savior does for you. He places himself between you and the need. And at the right time, when he knows it's the right time, he gives you your ticket. This is pretty much the promise Jesus gave his disciples one day when he was about to send them out as his witnesses, and they were wondering, "What if nobody listens? How will I speak the right thing?" Listen to what Jesus said to them. Mark 13:11. When they arrest you and hand you over for judgment, don't worry ahead of time about what you should say. Say whatever is given to you to say at that time, because it will not really be you speaking, it will be the Holy Spirit. Our Lord will give us what we need when we need it at the right time. Isn't that the message he also gave to the children of Israel when they were wandering in the wilderness? He promised to supply them with manna, with bread from heaven each and every day. All he told them to do was trust him and then go out and collect enough for each day. Those who worried, though, about God's provision, what did they do? They worried that God couldn't take care of them, that he wouldn't take care of their need, and they disobeyed and they collected enough manna for multiple days in advance. So the result? They found themselves with rotten, spoiled manna. It didn't take them long to learn what we can learn. God would give them what they needed at the right time. My dearly beloved, please hear me say today to you, your Lord, your shepherd, will lead you. He will provide for you, and he will do for you the right thing at the right time. Dear Holy Spirit, bring this sweet truth home to each of our hearts who are gathered here this morning. Dear Holy Spirit, draw our hearts and minds ever closer to Jesus, our shepherd. Holy Spirit, plant in our hearts the words that Jesus spoke in Matthew 6:34. As he said, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. And I love this next line. Every day has enough trouble of its own. A paraphrase of this translation puts it this way. I'm really delighted by this paraphrase I found. Listen to this. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. By God's gift of faith, did you catch that? By God's gift of faith, we can say this prayer. Dear Lord, help me to live one day at a time and show me that I can entrust into your strong, nail-pierced hands all of my future what-ifs and how-wills. My friends, our Lord invites us today to meet today's challenges with today's strength. He provides for us today's manna and invites us not to waste our time collecting tomorrow's rotten manna of worry. Would you please bow your head with me and pray? And I'm going to ask you to pray phrase after phrase with me. Help me to live one day at a time, O Lord. Show me that I can entrust into your strong hands all my future what-ifs and how-wills. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you think that's the end of the sermon, gotcha. It's not the end of the sermon. Did you know that what-if and how will aren't even in our Lord's vocabulary? One day, as recorded in the Gospel accounts, a man said to Jesus, Lord, if you are willing, you can heal my son. Jesus replied, if I'm willing, if I will, the child was healed. And when Jesus was on the cross, note here, when he was on that cross, dying for you and for me and paying for your sins, and thank God for mine and the sins of the world, a whole number of people were screaming and yelling at him, a whole host of what-ifs and how-wills. Listen to what they were saying. The unbelieving religious leaders, if you are the Messiah, come down from the cross. The mocking soldiers, how will you be the Savior if you can't even save yourself? One of the thieves next to him, if you really can save yourself and me. But the other thief, crucified next to Jesus, just being in Christ's holy presence, was given the gift of saving faith. He placed his faith in the Savior and he said to him this simple word. And this is a text that's going to be in my own funeral. This thief turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus responded without any ifs or ands or what ifs or how wills or buts. Our loving Lord spoke those precious words that changed this man's eternity and changes ours as well. Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. And one can suggest that when Jesus rose from death and returned to his Father in heaven, this thief was one of the first to experience the truth of Jesus' words when he said in John 14, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though I die, yet shall he live. The scoffing ifs of the religious leaders didn't stop Jesus. The mocking how-wills of the soldiers didn't stop Jesus. The doubting ifs of the unbelieving thief didn't stop Jesus. And like that believing thief, being in the presence of our holy God, being under the Holy Spirit's guidance through the Word and through the sacraments, we have received the gift of faith. We put our simple trust in the same crucified Lord and Savior who shuts the mouths of all the what-ifs and how-wills of our life. He alone is the one who shuts the lying mouths of worry for the future. A guy by the name of Arthur Hayes Sulzberger was the publisher of the New York Times newspaper in the 1930s and 40s, especially during World War II. Sulzberger admitted that many a night he couldn't sleep because he was so concerned and worried about the world scene and the world conflict. He admitted in his memoirs that he wasted too much of his life, especially at bedtime, worrying about the future. But through the hymns of the church and through God's Word in Holy Scripture, Sulzberger said that he adopted these five words as his bedtime prayer. One step, enough for me. Based on an old gospel hymn entitled, Lead Kindly Light. Listen to the first line. Lead kindly light, keep thou my feet. I do not ask to see the distant scene. One step, enough for me. My friends, it's likely that God is not going to let you or let me see the distant scene either. So we might as well stop looking for it. The Bible says that God promises us a lamp unto our feet each step of the way, not a crystal ball for the future. In faith, our bedtime prayer can be this, and it's on your handout. In faith, our bedtime prayer can be this. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Or as David said about the Lord our good shepherd, He leads me beside the still waters. In Jesus' name, Amen.